Welcome to Paul White Ministries. We are committed to unveiling the loveliness of Jesus through sermons and teachings that highlight Christ's finished work at the cross.
Little special treat, I guess. I've asked my son Jordan to share a song with us tonight before we get into our Bible study portion, and so he's gonna share a song. But before he gets started, I would just remind you a couple things, and this is something I love to do. And when I hear music, I hear the melody, but then there's also the lyrics of the song. And what I really like to do is pay real close attention to those lyrics. And I like to hear what that song is saying through the lyrics. I mean, I can pretty much tolerate. Now, so I like some genres better than other genres, but I can pretty well tolerate any kind of music. I say tolerate because some of it is I have to tolerate. But I like to look at the lyrics of the songs and just really study on those. And so listen to the lyrics of the song that he's going to share with us tonight. Jordan, thank you for sharing with us.
My knees, 'cause this pounding heart
Thank you, Jordan. Thank you so much. You know, those are powerful words. Some of those words, is there anything that God's love cannot conquer? Absolutely nothing. That, you know, when we hear God is love, God truly is love in so many ways that we don't stop and think about each and every day. I will go through each day and I'll think about different things that God has given me and God has blessed me with, and I'll go through each day and think about how God has directed me. But there's so many things that I forget about that when I think of God as love, and how that when we no longer live with that guilt and shame and condemnation over our heads every day, and that's what I want to kind of talk about a little bit tonight. But when, you know, when we for years and years, it seemed like when I was growing up, there was a mentality in the church that you had to ask for forgiveness every day. If you didn't ask for forgiveness when you went to bed tonight, then you might not be forgiven for the things that you did wrong that day. And that seemed like that stuck with me. And when I began to preach, that began to come out as well. That began to be the message of the past, that before I really seen grace in the light of grace, I began, you know, I would preach that. That if you don't ask for forgiveness, then you're not going to be forgiven. Even though you were saved years ago, that is just a part of the life that you're living. And so you better do that, or else. And that was what I would teach and would preach and would think in my mind. And every time I would read through the book of Romans, something inside my heart would just, I mean, it would wrench, and it would almost bind up, and it would tear. And thinking about the words to songs, about 3 weeks ago, I guess, the praise team here on Sunday morning sang a song, and I remember the words vividly to that song, and the words were, "When your grace and my heart collide." That was the phrase in the song. And I've been dwelling on those words, Pastor Rick, for 3 weeks. And I can't get them out of my head. And I can't get them out of my heart. When your grace, speaking of God's grace, obviously, when your grace, God's grace given to us, when your grace and my heart collide. When I think about how that my heart began to twist into whenever I would read through the book of Romans, that's what was happening, I think. That His grace, let's just take for a moment, okay? Let's think about this a minute. Your grace, whose grace? It was God's grace, right? It was God's grace, and so it was His possession. It was God's. It belonged to God. If you have a possession, your possession belongs to you. If you drive a truck, that truck, well, maybe it belongs to the bank, but you're paying the bank for that truck, right? It's your possession, your stuff at home. I saw a yard sale sign that was on the internet, and it said, "My stuff can be your stuff," except it didn't use the word stuff. It was a little bit worse than that, but it was a possession. Your possession is yours. And so, and we're thinking about grace. If your grace, who's God's grace, it's His grace, it's His to do what He chooses to do with it. And so when God chooses to, my goodness, share His grace with His creation, you know, when you really come down to it and think about it, the only religion, and I use that word loosely because I'm referring to all other religions, except for Christianity. Christianity is the only, we know we have a relationship, right, with Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, with God, we have a relationship. But for practicality, if we say that Christianity is a religion, Christianity is the only religion where God, the higher being, comes down to man, dies for man, gives himself up for man. The only one that I know of. All other religions, man is trying to work himself to God. Man is trying to do everything he can to get up to God, because God, and I use God, as and we know that some call, you know, don't call him God, but they're trying to work their way to a higher being. But for us, our God, in all of his grace, in all of his mercy, came down to mankind, to his creation. Became a man, became the created. The creator became the created, and thus died for us, for us, for our sins. I don't know, when you look at, well, there's no comparison, is there? There's just no comparison. And so when I look at your grace, God's grace, and my heart, well, I look at my heart in two different ways. Just as Romans does. We're going to look at Romans chapter 6. So if you want to go ahead and turn there while I'm talking. In Romans chapter 6, we see two ways to look at the man, the heart. That would be the old or the dead, and then we see the new or the alive. And so, two different ways to look at a heart. And so, before God's grace and our heart had that collision, was the old, the dead. But since that collision, have you ever seen two vehicles that collide? I mean, when they collide out here on the street, going down the highway, parts fly everywhere, don't they? Parts just go flying. Parts from this vehicle, parts from that vehicle, and it actually creates. Sometimes you look at it where both vehicles, if it's bad, both vehicles become intertwined in together. And I think about, wow, God's grace and my heart have become intertwined in together. And how that new heart, that new man can live every day without guilt, without shame, without that fear that Jordan sang about, is that I am not afraid. If we think about that song from Jesus, picture Jesus singing that song to us. What if Jesus were to say, I am not afraid to give my life, to sacrifice for man? What if Jesus would have said, and we know that he prayed to his Father in the garden, right? Jesus prayed and said, Lord, if it be your will that this cup would pass from me, let it be so. Another way be possible? But God said, no, this is the way. And Jesus said, if this is the way, then I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to give my life, to sacrifice for the man that I have created. And so going back to that question, every time I would get to Romans and I would read through it, I would ask myself, what? This doesn't make sense. Now, I know that I have faith in Jesus, and I know that I believed in him, And I know that He is my Lord and my Savior, and I've given my heart to Him. And so why is it that I think that every day, I've got to ask, forgive me of my sin, forgive me of my sin, forgive me of my sin? Don't make sense. And I come to this question in the first verse of Romans chapter 6. It says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. You know, Paul has just obviously finished talking about death in Adam and life in Christ. And he's saying that grace is going to abound all the more over sin. And so he anticipates the question that's going to be asked by the Romans. He anticipates that, well, if grace abounds more, then we just go ahead and sin more, so that grace can be abound more and more and more and more grace and more sin. But Paul says, in my version, the English Standard Version, he says, by no means, or certainly not, or may it never be, may it not be. And so Paul is very clear, may it never be that we think we have a get out of jail free card so we can just keep going to jail. I like to say it like that. You think about that. But grace abounds the more. Your grace, God, and my heart, when it collided, man, it really exploded. It really abounded. And so he says this is a question. Look close. How can we who died to sin still live in it? That was the puzzling question for me. If we have died to sin and we've been forgiven, why do we have to keep bringing it up and asking for God to keep forgiving us over and over and over again? And that never made sense to me. Still doesn't make sense to me. And so I read on, I'm going to go on down to verse 5. And so tonight, maybe we'll have a little Bible study of how to really dive in. And there's a couple of places that I like to go to research. And one of those is online. It's called blueletterbible.com. Blueletterbible.com. And you can, is that right? Yeah. Blueletter.org, I'm sorry. Blueletterbible.org. And you can go on and you can find on your computer, your phone, you can go on the online and you can call this website up and look up the verses in there. And so, for example, we're in Romans chapter 6, and I went ahead and went through the, you know, as sometimes my fingers get in the way of the typing. And so I went ahead and went to Romans 6. And as we're looking through there, verse 5, it says, for if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Keep that verse in mind, because we're going to come back to 5 after we go to 6. 6 says, we know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. All right. Now let's go through this. We know that our old self was crucified. Who was crucified? Our old self, our old man, the old before we came to faith in Christ. Our old self was crucified. Where was it crucified? Today, yesterday, the day before, it says it was crucified where? With Him. So when was our old self crucified? With him. When was he crucified? When was Jesus crucified? Who's him here? Jesus, right? When was Jesus crucified? Well, some 2,000 something years ago, okay? So when was our old self? Now, when we look at our old self, we don't think about our well, sometimes we might. You know, if you've lost 50 pounds in the last 6 months, you might look at the old self and think, ooh, I never want to go back there. But we're not talking about the flesh necessarily. When we talk about the old self, we're talking about the sin, the stuff that was in our life prior to faith in Christ. Okay? So when was that old self, when was that sin crucified? When was it buried? When was it put to death? At the cross with Jesus, right? And so if it was put to death with Jesus at the cross, this is our old self was crucified with him in order. Well, what's the result? In order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. And so let's look at that. Let's look at that verse. Verse 5 in the blueletterbible.org. Well, first of all, one of the words that really popped out to me was the word, we know that our old self was crucified. All right? I'm sorry, verse 6. We're on verse 6. And so when we look at that word, crucified, we'll just look here. The Greek word is sistureo. And if I look up the definition, that word is to crucify along with. All right. And so if the old self was crucified along with him, then the old man died with him. The sin died with him. The shame, the guilt, the past died with him. All right, what's another word? Somebody tell me a word that they would like to, we'll just look it up here in that verse 6. What about the last word? Or not the last word, but the one right before the comma. I have the English Standard Version, which the word is nothing. But, so we'll go back here. We'll look up that word. All right. Somebody might have the NASB version. That says to be done away with. All right? So nothing or to be done away with. Here's the definition. To cause to cease. To put an end to. To do away with. Abolish. Well, what do those words say to us today? To do away with. To abolish. There ain't no more. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. There ain't no more. They're gone. They're done away with. They're goodbye. See you. Sayonara. So long. Gone. Nothing. And so, why was our old self crucified with him? So that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, might be done away with, put away, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Ooh, why don't we look up that word, enslaved? Let's see what that says. So that we would no longer be slaves. Well, the Greek word is one that's familiar to me. It's from the root word doulos. And the word doulos, a lot of times is translated servant. Well, wait a minute. This is a slave. This says be enslaved. Well, when we go back and we look, the word enslaved or doulos, to be a slave, serve, do service of a nation in subjection to other nations, of those who become slaves to some base power to yield to give oneself up to. Whoa, okay, what is that saying? It says the old self was crucified so that the body of sin may be put away, so that we would no longer be enslaved or yield ourselves up to sin. Whoa, this is pretty cool. This is really getting exciting. Well, what about verse 7? For one who has died has been set free from sin. Well, wait a minute. When did we die? We died at the cross with Jesus. When was my sin forgiven? 2,000 some years ago at the cross with Jesus. Wait a minute. Which sin was not forgiven that I have to ask for forgiveness for every day? There wasn't one. Tomorrow, if I do something wrong, I'm already forgiven for that at the cross with Jesus. So, and here's grace. Grace is beautiful. Whenever we see grace, we see grace covers all of our sin. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. And so when we keep dwelling on it, when we keep living in it, when we keep thinking about it, when we keep trying to prevent it, then what we're doing really, and I see, is we're trying to die again and again and again and again and again. And we know the Word tells us that Jesus died how many times? Once. Jesus died once for all sin. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So how is it that this boggling my mind? Why did I think that? Why did I believe that? Why did I preach that? And I know what some of the answers are. And one of the answers is, well, you have to acknowledge to God that you've done something wrong for Him to forgive you. Well, my question to that is, don't you think God knows what we do wrong? Did God forget yesterday, today? Will He forget tomorrow? God knows. And so I go back to verse 5. Remember I said we were going to go back to verse 5? Okay. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, when did we die? 2,000 years ago with Jesus on the cross. We didn't die there, but our sins died there. And so how is it that when we die a death like His, verse 5, says we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Whoa, I thought about this. And I thought, Jesus died some 2,000 years ago. But I've heard this verse preached over and over and over again of this resurrection of life is going to be a future event. Future event. Well, I'm like, okay, why is the first part of the verse talking about a death like His, which was 2,000 years ago, and then at the comma, fast forwards to the end of time? That don't make sense to me. That's like taking that verse out of context. And so let's go back and read that again, thinking about Jesus. Let's think about Jesus. That's who we're talking about, isn't it? Amen. For if we have been united with Him in death, like His, a death on the cross, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Wait, Jesus died, He was buried in the tomb, and He rose again on what day? The third day, he rose again. And so his death, burial, and resurrection spanned a time of 3 days, what I believe the Bible teaches. And so if we died with him a death at the cross, then when did we raise with him to life, to live life? I believe when he came up out of the grave. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he came and he made it possible for all mankind to live life in him, through him, and him through us. And that is love. That is the greatest expression of love that I believe I could ever see, is how he lives inside of me. You know, the last Wednesday night that I got to share, I talked about the temple. I talked about how we are the temple of God and how he lives within inside of us. And so if he lives within inside of us, why? I don't get why. I mean, we're living life. We're here to live. All right, now, go to verse 8. If we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. When does that moment of living begin for you? I know for me, the moment you die, you begin to live. Now that don't make sense in our minds, in our human minds. You have to die to live. But that's the way God is. You see, for us, we think in the physical. We think in the natural. We think that when a person dies from this earth, passes away, that that's the death. But Jesus, or Paul says here, that we know that when we die with him, we will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. No, wait a minute. If he died for my sin, and he died once for my sin, then isn't all of my sin forgiven? I think it is. I think it is. Does that mean you won't do something wrong tomorrow? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that we're already forgiven. We don't have to focus on it. We don't have to dwell on it. We don't even have to count it. Well, what do you mean you don't have to count it? Well, we don't have to count it. Let's go back to another verse. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. When I discovered this verse, it was like my heart, instead of colliding with grace, it was like my heart just started doing somersaults, just doing flips all the way up and down the aisle. I won't try it for you tonight, but it's just like it was just doing this. And so do we have to count it? No. For sin, this verse says, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. Now I think that's referring to Moses' law, to the law of Moses. Sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. I read that verse, I'm like, wait a minute. So I've been counting my sin. I've been asking for forgiveness. I've been dwelling on my sin. Stop doing that, because if you're living under the law, you're going to do that. You're going to dwell on your sin, and you're going to have to continuously ask for that forgiveness, because the law requires it. The law actually don't just require it. The law demands it. Because according to the law of Moses, if you did not ask for atonement of your sin, then you were still in your sins. If there was blood not applied, you're still in your sin. But wait a minute. This verse says, sin is not counted where there is no law. It doesn't say that sin was not present. It says sin is not counted. So let me ask this question tonight. Are you living under the law or are you living under grace? I believe I today am living under grace. And so if the Bible says that sin is not counted where there is no law, if there is no law, then we're under grace. If we're not under grace, we have to be under law. So where there is no law, there's grace, and sin is not counted. Hallelujah. That was a breakthrough moment for me. Right there. A breakthrough moment. So how is it that, I know there's still questions. How is it that you deal with it? Well, the answer is you don't deal with it because Jesus already dealt with it. Amen. Jesus already paid for it. One of the fascinating things that I find is when we use the word freely, we use the word free. It's fascinating to me because that word, I think, free has been just blown out of proportion within our Western world. And, you know, we've heard the phrases, well, you don't get anything for free. We've heard the phrases that if it's free, it's not worth having. You can't receive anything for free. It costs something. Well, and that, I believe that that's actually true, because when we use that word free, see, we hear the phrase salvation is free, or we're free of our sins. Well, it actually did cost something. It cost Jesus everything. You see, Jesus, when he died upon the cross, when he went to the cross, he stretched out his arms. He laid all of the sin of all of the world upon his shoulders. He died a death for all mankind that cost him his life. It cost him everything he had, not in gold, not in silver, but it cost the love of God. And that love paid for it all. So yes, to us, we might perhaps think that salvation is free, but remember it cost something. It cost Jesus. And so then I go, okay, I looked at Romans 5. When there's no law, sin is not counted where there's no law. And then I go back to Romans 6 and look at verse 10. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Notice the difference there. The death he died to sin once for all. It is finished once for all. The life he lives, if you look at the Greek there, it would actually be better translated, the life that he lives, he keeps on living and keeps on living and 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 living. And that will never end. That life. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The bottom line is this. Without Jesus, none of this is possible. Without Jesus, we're still dead men walking. Without Jesus, we're still in our misery. Without Jesus, we are. But because of Jesus, alive to God. How many of you have been living alive this week? Amen. How many of you have been walking, listening to the Spirit of God this week? Doing what He wants you to do, going where He wants you to go, saying what He wants you to say. Amen. If you're in Christ Jesus, then you are. You are listening to Him. You have to be listening to Him. As Pastor Paul would say, is any red lights going on? Any green lights, red lights? I sort of had a green light moment today, and I just want to close by sharing just a brief of how God works. I have a friend that is dear to me, and we do some hunting together, and God said, go visit him. Well, I'm supposed to be at Brosley working. Jordan and I took some puppies to the vet this morning to get some shots at Dexter. We came back home. I went and looked at another job, quartered another job, and was getting ready to go to another job that I've been working at Brosley, and God said, go see if he's at work. So I did, and it was a moment that I think was orchestrated by God. I really do, because I went in and he needed to share something with me. Not that I'm, you know, super special, or not that I, but he just needed someone to talk to. Needed someone to share something with. Needed to share a possible, he had a doctor's appointment, and he needed to share a possible problem, physical problem that he might be having. And he was concerned about that. And so we sat down and we started talking, and he's a manager of a store, and the whole time that we were talking for about 30 minutes or so, he never got a phone call through the store. He never got a phone call on his cell phone. Another customer never came in to see him, to talk to him. It was just he and I just sitting there talking. And I really believe that was a moment. If I had been dwelling on something in the past, I would have not been listening in tune. I don't know if I would have went. But that's how God works. That's how God uses us as His children, as believers. That's how He uses us to be available. Just be available. You know, I have to kid a little bit. My brother-in-law, he said he was going to sit up here on the front row, but I don't know what happened. He's not up here. She said it. I've learned something from him, and that is just to be spontaneous. Just be spontaneous. You know, if they want to go out, if they want to go on a vacation, the day before, he says, pack up, we're going. And I was never that way. But the more that I begin to live in grace, the more I begin to see how the Holy Spirit can use us, the more spontaneous, I think, in my life I'm trying to become. And whenever that, I know that God is saying, go do this. Go see this person. Go visit this person. Go work at this place, or go do this. If I'm really in tune with Him and listening, then I need to go do that, because He's got a message for me to take to that person, or maybe somebody maybe somebody in between me meeting that person, I meet another person that needs something else. So, you know, just saying, when we are alive to God in Jesus Christ, we're oblivious to sin. When we're oblivious to sin, we're alive in God. I want to be alive in God. I don't want to worry about that junk that's not even counted. What are you saying, Jeff? Are you saying that you're perfect? Well, I guess I'm saying that in Jesus Christ, I am being perfected. Hebrews 10 tells us that. In Jesus Christ, we are being perfected. So, I guess, in Jesus Christ. Now, don't forget that part. You know, I got a lot of family here, so they're going to say, yeah, right. He's perfect. Yeah, right. That's right. In Jesus. Don't forget. In Jesus. Oh, how many of you enjoy being alive in Christ? Say amen. Amen. Well, let's go live it. Let's go live it. Let me pray for us. Father, you are so awesome. Lord, you are our love. You're our grace. You're our forgiveness. You're our petition. You're our hope. You're our salvation. You're our sacrifice. You're our life. And Lord, what other life is there? I don't think there is other lives. There's other deaths, but there's no other life than to be in Jesus Christ. Jesus, you're amazing. Every day, I just want to say, thank you, Father. Thank you for paying it all for me. So instead of saying, forgive me for that, I already know I'm forgiven. I'll just say, thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for laying it all down and raising it up again.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Paul White Ministries and how you can become one of Paul's partners, visit us online at www.paulwhiteministries.org.